Alexander, you all set?
Good evening. As my colleagues take their seats, I'm going to introduce myself, our staff, go over our procedures for the evening, then we'll get right to work. My name is Mark Laredo. I'm a counselor at large from Ward 7. I chair the Land Use Committee, and this is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. It is being audio taped. Thank you very much. With us at the beginning of our meeting are several members of the Land Use Committee. I expect a couple more as we go along. To my immediate left is our Counselor Jim Cote, Counselor at Large from Ward 3. Next to him is Counselor Deb Crosley, Counselor at Large from Ward 5. To my immediate right is Counselor Jake Auchincloss, Counselor at Large from Ward 2. And to my right is Counselor Allison Leary, Ward Counselor from Ward 1. Everyone but Counselor Leary is a member of this committee. We have several staff members with us this evening, Robert Waddick from the Legal Department, Michael Gruber from the Planning Department, Nadia Khan, our new committee clerk. Behind her is David Olson, the city clerk, and we're also joined by Alexandra Nantz from the Planning Department. So we have three items on this evening. The first two do not involve any public comment. The third does. What we're going to do is we're going to ask for each of these, for the presenter to give a presentation. For the first two, for the first one, it may have some length. The second, I expect to be very quick. And the third will be the petition, which I expect you're all here for this evening, which is the Newtonville Avenue petition. By way of procedure, we're going to start off with a presentation from Attorney Schlesinger. He may have some others who are part of his team presenting. I don't know. Then we're going to hear from our planning department what their views are in the project. We're then going to open it up to public comment. Any and every member of the public is welcome and indeed encouraged to speak. There's only some very basic ground rules. One, you got to come up to the podium. Two, you got to state your name and address clearly so our committee clerk can record it. And three, we ask you to keep your remarks to 3 minutes or less. That is because we want you to all get out of here at a reasonable hour this evening, and if we don't have some limitation on remarks, we can be here often quite late. You obviously are welcome to send us at any time additional remarks in writing, typically by email. If it goes to the city clerk, it goes to all of us, or you're welcome to write to any of us individually. It is my intent not to close the public hearing and not to take a vote on this project this evening. If that goes according to plan, we will take it up at our last regularly scheduled meeting in April, which I believe is April 26th, if I'm not mistaken. So with that, the first item before us is 40-15. It's a request for consistency ruling relative to 95 Elm Street, also known as Patty's. And who do I have here this evening?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Donald Lang. I'm the architect for the project. The O'Hara family, the owners of the business, are here tonight. And I thought that a brief introduction is that around April 6th of 2015, almost a year ago, a special permit was issued to increase the capacity of this restaurant from 116 to 146. Accessibility to the first floor was presented, and variance relief was received from the state to not provide access to the second floor of the building. When we completed the hearing and received the special permit to go forward, we did some preliminary engineering and began to do some pricing of the construction with the O'Hara family and the team that they use for construction. We found two things came together. One was that the construction cost for the project, even though it's a small building, exceeded the expectations of the owners. At the same time that the Architectural Access Board had placed a limitation on use of the second floor that prevented it from being used for private parties or for any type of function. So the decision was made by the O'Haras to provide full access to the second floor of Patty's by means of installing a limited use, limited access elevator, which is called a Lula in Dargon, which would enable them to lift the restrictions on the use of the second floor of the building. So that was a very important part of the rethinking of this project. So the Lula requires more space than the vertical wheelchair lift, which had been planned as a future adaptation to provide access. So there was some redesign of the building that was needed to be done because a larger footprint is needed. And to offset the additional cost of the Lula, some changes in the proposed scope of work were considered, including leaving the existing front stairway alone. We had planned on reconstructing the stairway to reverse its direction, which required also putting an addition on the second floor to add a hallway that would be needed once the stairs had been changed. We looked at some other improvements to the design along the way, which include creating a roof deck, because we now had space on the second floor that is not being built into a hallway that provided another opportunity. In all of this, the approved capacity of 146 seats has not been changed. So that remains the same. And can we go through some of the slides then? So I'm going to go through in general, and then in as much detail as you would like, the changes in the areas. And I had a handout that is the same as these slides. There are some public benefits to the changes that are being proposed. The first is that with the installation of an elevator, the premises will now become fully accessible, because the first part of the project created access to the first floor. Second thing that we were going to do was we were going to eliminate a ramp that was at the side of the building in favor of, and a ramp is a 1 to 12 slope with elaborate handrails and things like that. We're going to create a sloped walkway, basically slope the side yard so that a ramp wouldn't be needed, and it would be much easier to enter the building. The same sloped pathway would connect to the rear egress stair in the plan, which eliminates an additional exterior flight of stairs to make it easier to get out of the building in case of an emergency. We are going to create an accessible seasonal roof deck on the second floor, and as I mentioned previously, the existing front egress stairs were going to remain in their same location, will not be reconfigured. And a small item, but since we're talking about changes to the approved plans, a small roof section at the rear of the building is going to be raised to allow the installation of a piece of rooftop equipment on it, which then creates a very small space for an office at the rear of the building. We can go through that. So these are the five changes that we propose. I have detailed plans that point out each of these changes to the building. And I'm not going to labor over them, because I think they're. I can answer any questions that you have. This is the basement plan, proposed basement plan. It shows the footprint of the elevator. It shows the small retaining wall at the rear and a little access for pushing deliveries in. Next slide, please. This shows on the right-hand side, the blue area is the raised walkway. The retaining wall at the rear is 3 feet, 4 inches tall. It doesn't exceed the requirement or the limits of the retaining wall height at the property line. You can see in the green, that's the new limited use, limited access elevator, and the elevator lobby that comes with it. And then the yellow in the front is the stairway that basically remains the same. We're going to reconstruct the exterior stairs, which are now 2 very tall steps, to create 3 compliant steps that meet the requirements of the building code. Next slide, please. This is the second floor plan of the building. Again, on the right-hand side, you can see the green, which is the elevator and the elevator lobby. And toward the left front is what had been an open deck for mechanical space. We proposed to create the outdoor roof deck, seasonal roof deck there. And in the upper left-hand corner, the brown area, is this raised roof, which allows us to create a small office. Next slide, please. This is the front elevation of the building, where you can see some changes to the fenestration on the upper left-hand side. On the right-hand side, you can see the green elevator tower. That structure is enlarged in order to encompass the elevator shaft and the requirements that it has for height and so on. And in the lower, that's the right side elevation of the building. You can see the blue area at the base. That is the sloping walkway where we built up the grade. And then, once again, the elevator. Next slide, please. Thank you. This is the upper view, is the rear of the building, looking from Egan's paint yard. It's the left-hand side. You can see the sloped walkway. Above that, you can see the elevator shaft. And then on the left-hand side, upper left corner, that should be brown, it's green, but that is the new small office being constructed. In the lower view, on the left-hand side, that is the side facing the convenience store. That's toward Washington Street to the south. The upper left corner is the little office that's being created. And on the right side, on the second floor, it just indicates the handrails that are required for the, creating the roof deck. 42-inch, their code required handrail. Next slide, please. These are demolition plans, so we like to make existing and proposed plans. The existing plans show the demolition. I think if people have questions about this, we can come back to them, but I think we would skip over them for right now. That shows what's being removed in the basement associated with the different pieces of the construction. Similarly, that shows parts of the first floor of the building that are being demolished. Next slide, please. And similarly on the second floor, these are just the changes to the existing plans that have been submitted to you previously. Next slide, please. So this is, one second here. So in order to take advantage of the roof deck opportunity for some seasonal dining, we're having what we would call a summer seating plan and a winter seating plan. The plans that we have gone through already were the plans that you have already seen in terms of the seating with 146 seats. This shows seats on the first floor reduced to 80 seats to allow for the additional seats on the upper level. So this has, seven seats removed from the first floor in order to provide the opportunity for the second floor deck. If we can go to the next slide, please. And this shows seats moved around, but basically relocated from the second floor out onto the roof deck. And the roof deck in this drawing is the lower left corner where there are 18 seats. And if you would notice, there's a doorway to the roof deck from the bar area, which has a small ramp in front of it, because this is required to be accessible by the state access regulations, so it will be. So we have basically, in the summertime, we have 18 seats on the deck. We're going to remove 18 seats elsewhere from the project in order to keep the approved capacity the same. And then the last slide, this is a little data sheet that shows what were the existing conditions, what was approved by the special permit last year, what this proposal shows, and then it just gives a breakdown in the last column, or what I refer to as the summer seating. It shows that the FAR is increased by 0.02, but was well within the range of what was previously approved. It shows that we've added 92 square feet to this building from what was previously approved, most of which is the enlarged footprint of the elevator. And just in case you didn't know what a limited use, limited access elevator is, it's basically, it is an elevator. You push a button, the elevator comes, the doors open automatically, you step in, push a button where you want to go, which would, in this case, would be the second floor. It takes you to the second floor, the doors open, and you get out. The only difference between this type of an elevator and what we would call a full-service EMT-compliant elevator is the size of the platform. So Lula has a 3-foot by 5-foot platform. The EMT compliant elevator has a 6'8" by 5'6" platform. And this elevator is allowed by right by the Architectural Access Board because the building is two stories.
Anything else for the moment? All right.
I was as quick as I could be.
Good. We've been joined by Councilor Greg Schwartz, Vice Chair of the Committee, Councilor at Large from Ward 6. Questions? Actually, before we take questions, let me hear from the Planning Department, if I could, and that may inform our discussion.
So the petitioner requested a consistency ruling, and it seemed a little outside of the scope of something that either I or the commissioner would approve without bringing to you. Most of the changes have no concern to me at all. The significant change is really the addition of the outdoor seating on the roof deck. That was not part of the original permit, and that is sort of the most different aspect. But I have no concerns with the addition of the elevator, the changes to the walkway, or the other interior changes.
The office, the interior office is fine with the site elevation?
Mm-hmm, yes. And the number of seats is not increasing. It's just that they would be removed from the inside in the summer.
Councilor Cody?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one of my first questions was to planning. Basically, this is a consistency ruling, but it seems kind of changed quite a bit. To be just a consistency ruling? Is that, would this like warrant any kind of, I don't want to do something to find out we should have a public hearing.
Right. Well, so it doesn't really require any additional zoning relief because they're not adding to the overall number of seats. So it is something that you could consider, or it is something that you could require they amend the site plan.
Okay. So I visited the site with the owner last week. And overall, it's a good plan. I mean, the huge plus is the elevator, which adds, you know, it's a major plus for the neighborhood and for future uses of the hall, which would be a great community resource. And then the other thing is the seating. I'm very encouraged by the fact that they're not coming in for additional seating, which is always a little bit challenging in that area. So it's going to be like a shifting between the seasons. So in the winter, seating is different in the summer. So the one concern I think that we have to have, and it's one of my concerns, is the roof deck. Because of the, and I know we talked about it, John, with the placement of the neighbor's house right there with the window. So I don't know how we resolve the fact that we got a window right there that the deck basically is next to. Like if some kind of screening would be warranted. I mean, because you got one owner now, but the owner changes, what happens at that point, you know?
We have discussed security concerns for the fact that there will be a bench, and even though the building code requires a 42-inch high barrier, they prefer that the 42-inch high barrier start at the top of the seat back, which would give you a 72-inch high from the floor type of a screen. So on the, particularly on the right-hand side towards the convenience store building, that would be, we should create a screen that would prevent children from, you know, for BC students from toppling into the alley, as well as provide some privacy to the.
So what's the distance building between? I didn't go out and measure. What's the distance between like where the deck would end and where that house next door?
You mean what is the alley?
Yeah, what's the distance between that? Like I know, when you're standing there, it's closer, but when you're, I couldn't ascertain that from the.
So I don't have the surveyor's site plan from the original application, but our building sits on the line.
Right.
And I believe that, and there's a section of fence between the O'Hara's building and the property on the corner, which I would think is about 2 feet, and then it gets a little greater as it goes towards the rear, so maybe it's 3 feet at the rear, 2 feet at the front, roughly. I'm sorry, I can't give you a more definite.
Well, so my only big concern there is that the screening would effectively block their window view. However, the screening could come down in the winter, I would imagine, because there'd be no need for the deck to be in use. But then you get the 3 or 4 months you use the deck. You know, and if I own the house now and I'm okay with it, it's fine. But the next person comes in and says, hey, you know, there's 3 feet from my window, there's a big block, you know.
I haven't had a conversation with them. I'm not sure whether the O'Hara's have had a chance to speak.
I think they had some type of a conversation.
Do you know anything about the
pandemic? No, let me make a suggestion here. Let's focus our dialogue on whether we think this is consistent or not with the special permit.
That's my concern with should we have
so a... you've raised the concern.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me just hold it. Councilor Crosby, you want to add something here?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear some more information that helps to inform that juxtaposition there. What I'd like to go to is our rules. It's kind of an interesting question to me. How is this outdoor seating, from the point of view of our rules, and so I don't know if that goes to Alexandra or Law, we are different from the allowing people to have cafe seating. You know, we do have a rule that allows restaurants to move out onto the sidewalk if they have a certain amount of area, as long as they're not adding seating. We just allow that. But they have to have a certain amount of area and there has to be passing space. This is outdoor seating, but it's part of the building. And I'm not sure we have a rule that addresses this that might help us with the consistency ruling. Yeah, I'm not sure that we do have a rule that really helps with this. The cafe seating ordinance is for ground level seats. It allows for up to 8 seats as part, by right with a license. So this is a little different. So this isn't against any particular rule, nor is there a rule that can help guide our decision. I find that kind of interesting because the number of seats is really what we're supposed to be ruling on. And but I understand, that this might have brought in an aspect that we might wanted to consider the juxtaposition to other uses. I'm glad that you articulated the railing business, but if I may, I think it's not just the screen. I think once you have developed an outdoor space that's usable, I believe you have to have a permanent railing. Is that correct? May I, through the chair?
I suggest we leave it to the architect and the inspectional services as to what...
I'm asking the question so that we know if it's a permanent structure, so that if that's a
fine
concern...
Then could I, through the chair, Councillor Crosby, pose the question to you, Mr. Lane?
The state building code requires a 42-inch high guardrail with 4-inch on center minimum pitches to prevent anyone from going through once you're more than... I think it's 30 inches above the ground.
Okay.
So this would certainly meet that requirement.
So the point I take is there's going to be some permanent structure up there.
It's
that
permanent railing, at least.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It has to be a permanent part of the structure.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. And thanks for the assistance, sir. We've been joined by Councillor Rick Lipoff, Councillor at Large from Ward 8, and member of the committee, Councillor Schwartz.
I guess I have two questions, and I apologize if you've already covered these before I got here. One is related to the most recent issue that's being discussed, is the rooftop deck, and I guess the question for legal perhaps might be, well, for both planning and legal, is there any precedent at all as far as rooftop decks? I would assume that there's been some in the past.
There certainly has been. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but in Newton Center, there's some restaurants that have dining on their deck. I think Farmstead Table has a deck behind the restaurant where we did allow dining. So in my mind, you're really thinking about, will the noise from the outdoor seating be substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood than the existing restaurant?
I think that's an important issue, but I guess what I was trying to get at was just for fairness of process, I just was trying to figure what we do in other cases and whether, because that really gets to whether this is simply a consistency ruling or whether this is something that we would have done a different process during the hearing and the special permit approval process before if this was in the original proposal. And that's really my question. My second question, I guess, is more about the HVAC unit. It sounds like from the email that we received that being lifted a little bit to make room for the office, is that right, and make it more serviceable?
Yeah, and make it more serviceable, yes. We had created kind of an inaccessible second floor roof that you had to climb over a three-story roof to get to. And the client said to me, are you going to service that for me? So we raised that up. So it would now be on the same level as other pieces of equipment.
So I guess the question on that is whether that creates any kind of nuisance as well that we wouldn't have, that we would have maybe looked at during the permit, the special permit process, that to a neighbor or I know that with other special permits, sometimes we talk about a parapet or some kind of screening for those types of units. We talk about sometimes the noise level, the decibel level. I remember at least one other special permit that we would have considered that. And so this coming kind of later in the process, is my question is whether that allows us to be
Could you give us maybe you can help us a little bit here, Mr. Lang. How much is the increase in elevation?
10 feet. I think that this unit at the higher location is going to join other units, at least one other unit that we already have there. That roof, flat roof elevation will be probably above the cornice of the building that is close to the south. So I think it's going to be well above any windows that are in the second floor of that building. And, you know, to speak to some of the issues of privacy of the window, the window toward the front of the building that looks out onto this proposed roof deck, there's a 12-ton HVAC unit sitting on that roof that in the summertime is not quiet. So you're going to move that unit to a higher location toward the rear of the property, I would think away from the windows of that building, which is an office building, apparently. It's not a residential, that's not a residential unit. So my opinion is that we're not making anything worse, and in fact, probably we're making the impact on the adjoining building a little less.
Ms. Anand, do you have any opinion on that issue?
Brian, which issue?
The HVAC. I mean, we've heard from Mr. Lang it's going to go up about 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, at least at first blush, to be somewhat significant.
Yeah, so we regularly do allow for mechanical equipment on the roof as part of special permit projects. What we could do is request that there be an acoustical screen for any side that faces a residential abutter.
I guess I'm just concerned what the difference is, if any, between what we approved in the initial permit and what they're proposing now. I think I agree with Councilor Schwartz. I'm not looking to create a hardship for folks. But at the same time, this is a material difference that's something we need to be aware of. So is it a material difference?
Probably. I mean, would you require any change in advertising if this had been advertised with the outdoor seating and with the HVAC system there? But it might have been discussed, certainly, at the hearing. So we would have noticed the public differently than consistency rulings are noticed.
As far as the HVAC, though, is it your view that it's within the kind of spirit of what we proposed?
If this was the only change, I feel pretty confident that the Commissioner of Inspectional Services would have not had a problem with
it. So if I'm summarizing correctly, the real issue here is rooftop seating. You said Farmstead Table is allowed rooftop seating. How was that done? It wasn't done through special permit, was it?
They did require a special permit because they expanded their seating options in the summer. So they actually did come in for a special permit for that.
Had they not expanded their seating options, would they have had to come in for a special permit?
No.
They could have just opened up on the roof and would have been no problems.
Right. So, again, it's not the roof that they use. They built a deck off the back of their building. So, but it got the second floor in the rear of the building.
All right. Councilor Schwartz?
Sorry, just one more question that would help me on this. If not for the rooftop deck that you're planning, you would still want to make these other changes. Is that my understanding?
Yes, because the limitation that the Architectural Access Board, they said no parties on the second floor, no private parties, no functions. And this is a family investment that's going to go on for a few more generations probably, so we have to get this building fixed right. And the ability to only be able to use part of the building is just, it doesn't make sense from a dollar standpoint. So the improvement of the accessibility. Now the access board, we could also by right put in a what's called a vertical wheelchair lift, which is a piece of equipment that would be half the price of the elevator. But the O'Hara's, it's a primitive device, really. You have to hold the switch for the thing to run, and if you take your hand off the switch, it stops. This is not something that your aunt or your grandmother would want to use. This thing that they're going to put in, it's more costly, takes up a little more room, but it's a much more comfortable, welcoming device for people who need access or need assistance to get up to the second floor.
Let me just try to focus our discussion a little bit. Can I get a sense of the will of the committee that, but for the rooftop deck, are we comfortable as a group that is consistent? Can I have a show of hands on that? All right. So it's unanimous that, but for the rooftop deck, we're fine, consistent, we're good. So let's just focus our attention, if we could, on the rooftop deck issue. And if there's further questions on that, Councilor Cody.
So I guess the main concern I have with the rooftop deck, and my colleagues in Ward 3 are okay with the project too. We just wanted to be sure that we were clear with the legal fund. So I'd be prepared to move to the working session if we're legally okay with that deck, and you know, by doing that. So if we are, it seems like we are. There's no other real questions, you know.
Are you saying that you're comfortable with it, Councilor Cody?
I'm comfortable with it. The main concern I have, I know Councilor Clavey just mentioned about the permanent railing. So I understand the permanent railing piece, but what I was thinking about was in the summertime, possibly some type of a screening piece that would be added, like an extension that could be taken off the rest of the time. So I don't know if that's anything we could require, but...
I think there's a spirit of cooperation as long as we're not asking something that's unduly burdensome of a petitioner.
I think the O'Hara's are known for the biology and botany and natural greenery that they provide on all of their places, and I would think that we could incorporate something that provided more of a screening in the summertime as some kind of greenery mm-hmm. that could go away in the wintertime when you didn't need to provide a visual screen.
Councilor Clarkley, you want to add something?
I
thought you were going to add, that's all.
No, I'm fine.
Is there anybody else who has thoughts on this one? I'll lay mine out on the table. I'm of mixed minds on this. On one hand, I really don't want to see folks who run a great business have to come back here for an amendment to a special permit. It costs money, it costs time. I have some concerns about the fact that rooftop seating as part of a special permit is different, but I am hearing, A, that we have some cafe seating by right, and that by right they could do this ordinarily if there was no increase in seating in the premises. Is that right?
Correct. If there was no special permit on this project and they weren't increasing the number of seats, they would not need to come before the committee.
Okay. So... anybody, Councilor Schwartz?
I thought I heard a little hedge there. You said if there was no special permit on the property, what did you mean by that?
Right. So they could put in cafes or outdoor seating by right as long as they didn't need any zoning relief, which this does not need.
They already have it.
They have a special permit which has a set of plans that govern the site. So if they were to come back to the committee, they would be seeking a special permit to amend the plan set that goes with the special permit that they have. There is no zoning relief that we would be granting them. It is simply to change one set of plans to their proposed set of plans.
You can do that through consistency?
Yes.
Even with the roof deck?
You can do it because it requires no additional zoning relief.
Okay.
Councilor Rapoport.
That's all I need to hear. I'm absolutely fine with this. I'd like to move it.
Okay. All right. One question. Have you spoken with your immediate neighbors about this? Are there any concerns there that we need to be aware of? I'm sorry, sir. Just going to come up to the podium if you want to speak. Thank you.
I'm Carl O'Hara.
Good evening, sir.
The gentleman owns the building, Eugene Painting. They're there Monday through Friday day. It's a commercial one painting company. He's a very good friend of us. I have no problem talking to him, but
okay.
We will certainly make sure the neighbor's happy.
All right, fine. Anybody else? All right, I have a motion from Councillor Liphoff. I'm sorry, it's Councillor Cody's ward. So you're going to feed to him. Councillor Cody, do you want to move it?
Yes, I
go right ahead. All right, so all in favor of issuing a consistency ruling allowing not only the improvements we talked about before, but the roof deck as well. Show of hands, please. Six in favor, none opposed. Gentlemen, good luck. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Lang, for your presentation.
Thank you.
All right, next we have what I hope is a very short item. This is 48, I' 2-15 parens 2. Request for an extension of time for a special permit, 300 Boylston Street. Mr. Schlesinger, you want to fill us in?
Alan Schlesinger, 1200 Walnut Street. I think I submitted a letter. This is the interim permit for laboratory use, which the board voted last April. We are still in efforts of tenanting the property. I think some good progress has been made on some amenity uses in the building, which will certainly encourage office uses such as these to come in, and we're hopeful of getting it done and need an extension of time.
Councilor Crosby?
I'll move approval.
Sounds good. Any comments by my colleagues? All in favor of approval? Six in favor and unopposed. That was your easy one, Attorney Schlesinger. Now you come up for number two, which is 48-16 special permit petition for 255-257 Newtonville Avenue, Storage Development Partners, LLC, Norcross Trust. Petition for a special permit to construct a three-story, 113,000-square-foot self-storage facility with a building height of 36 feet, which will increase the floor area ratio to 1.5, where 1.0 is the maximum allowed by right, 255-257 Newtonville Avenue, Ward 2. Good evening again, Mr. Schlesinger.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Alan Schlesinger, Schlesinger and Bookbinder, 1200 Walnut Street. I have some handouts which will... I hope facilitate the view of the plan. Storage Development Partners is the petitioner this evening, and with me tonight are David Levenfeld and Daryl Cusack of Storage Development Partners, and Andy Graves of the BL Companies, who will be speaking as the architect and on the design. Also here tonight, the owner of the property, Doc Norcross, whose husband built the Conn's buildings on the site and ran his engineering company, Norcross Engineering, at the property for a long time. The site is very well known. The location is at the end of East Side Parkway, at the junction of Mootonville Avenue and East Side Parkway, adjacent to the turnpike on the back side. The property has two buildings. This office building is formerly the Norcross Engineering building, and to the left of the building, that little wood building, is wood framed the railroad building, which is currently used as office space, and the contractor's yard. I do want to note that, we'll get to that, I guess. Visually, from the aerial, there are a number of features on the site. You can see this black strip there is Laundry Brook, which is open for 115 feet on this site. It is underground from Newton North High School to the Charles River. It's open for 115 feet here. I think it may be open for a few feet on Pulsifer Lane or something like that. Phillips Lane. But basically, it's culverted through here, culverted under the turnpike, but it is open air here, and under the rules of the Rivers Act, River Protection Act, a 200-foot box is riverfront protection area. And Andy will talk a bit about the Conservation Commission proceeding, which we have completed with their approval and issuance of a order of conditions. Now, although the property reads like it comes down this way along the brook, in fact, the property line, and you see the industrial buildings, the NEFCO building, which I think everyone knows, the property line actually comes up like this. It might show easier on the printout. You can see probably easier on the printout a triangle piece right in here, which is actually off-site. Although the brook comes down this way, the property line is on the east, this side of the brook. And then it takes this jag in here, which is affecting the building and where it has to be set back. And it affects all the conservation issues. We'll show later on the landscaping plan that we were able to make a deal with this guy, with NEFCO, to be able to plant and reclaim that site as part of the improvements to the storage site. But the riverfront jurisdiction extends all the way in this white box. The other thing which I will call to your attention is that the property line comes down around here. I think most of us remember when Lewis Terrace was reconfigured. It used to make this curve here, and some years ago, I guess it's a little off the picture, but some years ago it was reconfigured so that the paved road is now straight. It comes into Newtonville Avenue at a 90-degree angle. I think it was an island in the middle of Lewis Terrace there, wasn't it? I think. But now there's...
You're correct, Attorney Schlesinger.
Well, people who grew up on Bellevue Street know these things. So what there is an area of grass of approximately 50 feet between the property line and the paved way. So the paved way of Lewis Terrace comes down and meets Newtonville Ave straight, and the city property of a significant grass area there, which has the visual effect of setting back the building further. I think on this plan you can see the brook as a highly degraded, again it's off the property, but the conservation has jurisdiction. We're talking about a storage facility which reflects the times. This is a use which has become very popular in the past several years. People are in transition in a number of different ways, and the storage facility provides an option which perhaps wasn't available to, or was available in different forms 20 or 50 years ago. We have two of the new facilities in Newton, the one at 300 Newton Street, which the board approved, and one which is partially at the end of Lexington Street and partially in Moody Street and Waltham. Mr. Cusick was actually the developer of the Moody Street property. And I think I show these because storage facilities are not your grandfather's storage facility. These are modern facilities, they are attractive facilities, and they are designed to attract people in. This is the site plan for the building. Andy Graves will go through it in some detail. With Lewis Terrace over here, you can see the area. This is the paved area of Lewis Terrace and the city area in between. Newtonville Ave here. The use, I need to note, I think it's been very significant, the land is in the manufacturing district. The land is also in Ward 2, although all of the abutters are in Ward 1. But it is manufacturing district. There are four or five buildings going down Newtonville Avenue in that manufacturing district. Part of it was the Security Mills property, which was converted to housing in the early 90s. The use for storage facility is allowed as a matter of right. Petition before you this evening is a petition for a 1.5 SAR instead of the 1.0, which is allowed. It's a 78,000 square foot lot. So 78,000 square feet of, is allowed as a right. We're looking for 113. Two stories is available as a matter of right. We're asking for three stories and keeping under the 36 foot height. I guess I'll stay with that one. Okay. We have had in the past 9 months four neighborhood meetings, and we met with the Newtonville Area Council also. We met June 22nd, September 16th, November 4th, and November 18th at the building. We leafleted the mails to the neighborhood along Newtonville Avenue, up to Bellevue, down Hilltop to Eastside Parkway, all the way up Eastside Parkway, and down Newtonville to Monroe. So we covered a pretty good area. We went over the invitation list with some of the neighbors to make sure we could do a broad scope. I hope everybody has heard about it. We did go to the Newtonville Neighborhood Area Council. What we said, I think, has been on the whole, well received in the neighborhood. And I think the reason is that the storage facility is a low impact, low energy user, and low traffic generator. In the manufacturing district, the office use is allowed as a right at an SAR of 1. So I believe that an SAR, that 78,000 square feet of office building is allowable as a matter of right. And I think that's been a very significant factor to the neighborhood in reviewing this project, and that we estimate the traffic generation from this to be approximately 10% of the traffic to be generated by an as-of-right office building. The other thing which I think everybody's familiar with is that the site slopes down, and I know Andy will go through this in additional detail, but from this point down, so that the three-story building facing the turnpike, it faces that way, has three stories, but as the land rises, it presents one story facing Lewis Terrace, one story facing the intersection, and then as the street falls off, it is two stories down along Newtonville Avenue. So I think that people have responded well to that, showing a one-story building over there, two stories allowed as of right. The other thing that we've worked on quite significantly is the setback along Lewis Terrace. The requirement is 18 feet. Andy will go through it. We're at significantly more. And what we have done is to try to push the building this way, to get it away from Lewis Terrace. And the last iteration was able to save an additional 10 trees along Lewis Terrace. We have, we'll talk a little bit about the traffic generation later, but I think that people recognize that the storage facility is very low. We were scheduled to come before you in November, but with the committee's schedule and our desire to make some, to make the final changes and moving the building that way, we postponed it, and this was the first available time. I do want to note that when we were looking at Laundry Brook, which is over here, the riverfront regulations act, which the Conservation Commission regulates, created this box of riverfront impact area. The building is substantially in the box, And in order to save additional trees up here on Lewis Terrace, we actually moved the box, we moved the building this way, to the left. It was an interesting conundrum because the riverfront regulations wanted the building to move this way. So one set of practicalities was to try to move the building west, and the other regulatory requirement would have moved it to the east. I used this as an example in a real estate course in February as to navigating the different areas of regulatory law. But the Conservation Commission understood the value of leaving the trees over here and allowed a slightly greater encroachment into the riverfront area. I would note that we did also appear at the Historic Commission. The engineering building of 1963 was deemed to be historic but not preferably preserved. The railroad building was deemed to be historic and preferably preserved, and there is a demolition delay in effect on that. I guess I'd like to ask Andy Graves to go through the site plan and the engineering, and I will return to discuss the traffic and the relief site.
Not tall enough. Oh, thank you. My name is Andrew Graves. I'm a principal of Beale Companies, and we've been working with the community and store development partners now for probably 9 months, as Alan mentioned.
Oh, isn't that fancy?
And Alan mentioned through numerous neighborhood meetings to come up to the plan that you see in front of you. Our goal was basically to minimize the impact on the local neighborhood, respect the area adjacent to Laundry Brook, and we had a meeting with a successful meeting with Conservation Commission, and I'll go through that when we get to the landscaping plan, our approach to plantings in that area to address the concerns of them. Save as many trees as possible. This is currently a fairly heavily wooded site. And of course, our ultimate goal is to create a functional and attractive self-storage building, as Alan mentioned, which has, it's a very low intensity use and has minimum impact from a ecological, environmental, and energy and facilities and infrastructure on the town as well. So one of the main, we had some challenges here. The site has about a 20-foot grade change from Lewis Terrace down to Nefto on the western side of the property. This challenge actually turned out to be an asset. It allowed us to essentially make the building appear to be a single story where it abuts Lewis Terrace, and you'll see that when we get to the elevation. The building is only 16 feet tall along Lewis Terrace, and as it steps down towards Nefto, it grows to 38 feet. Our grade plane is actually, calculations are actually 8 feet above the finished floor of the building, so from a technical point of view, we're only 2 feet above what is permitted as of right, so we're permitted 24 feet. We're only going to get 26 feet for the majority of the building, but from visually, from Lewis Terrace, we're 16 feet tall, and from ground plane, even when we're away from the neighborhood, we're 34 feet tall. So one of the major sort of functional layouts of the site was to put the parking and loading area on the opposite side of Lewis Terrace and adjacent to the Nefto building. The parking there is, even though it's below what's required in your regulations really don't address self-storage as a use. We're actually providing one more space than the national standards are for this type of facility. In addition, there's adequate room for a truck to maneuver, pull up to the loading area, which is in the where you can see in the center of the building, you see that box on the western side of the site in the middle of the building.
Attorney Schlesinger, I'm going to just note that we try to keep our presentations to about 20 minutes or so. Okay. So I don't want to rush anything, but on the other hand, I do want to have an opportunity for the planning department to speak and members of the public to be heard.
I'll try and I'll move it along. So essentially, the parking area is adequate for the needs of facilities. From a functional point of view, there are a number of facilities in town that have been built with the same number of parking spaces that have functioned well for a number of years. The loading area also is opposite from the residences and is completely covered from their view. There's no outdoor lighting anywhere along Lewis Terrace or along Newtonville Avenue. And there will be lighting, again, just to provide security and movement in the parking area. And again, the parking and loading area is underneath the western side of the building, completely obscured from the residential areas, and allows comfortable truck movements so a 20-foot box truck can move in, back up, turn around, and come back out of the site. So I want to move on to the elevations. What's wrong with it? Here is a three-dimensional watercolor rendering of the facility. This is looking up Lewis Terrace. Newtonville Avenue drops down to your left. Lewis Terrace is sort of moving away into the picture. You can see this is the Lewis Terrace side. It's a single-story building, like 16 feet tall. Modern facility. The strip between the building and Lewis Terrace is going to be naturally planted with native adaptive species that are shade tolerant. We're saving a large number of trees along that facade. And you can see that corner, again, the building is probably a good 15, 20 feet shorter than the residential buildings uphill across the street. And the building grows out of the ground a little bit as you move down towards the commercial building, NEFCO, to the west. These are the two elevations, one facing Newtonville Avenue, which is on the top of the slide. The one facing Lewis Terrace is on the bottom. We've used traditional materials in sort of a modern way. We're treating these as this is a very quiet building. There's no pedestrian or activity outside this building, so we're sort of taking approach screens like a garden wall. So along Lewis Terrace, you see the facade is only 16 feet tall. The slightly transparent trees are all the trees that we're saving, which are significantly higher than the roof of the building, which would provide excellent screening during spring, fall, and summer, of course. Terrace and then natural plantings that are going to adapt it to the site and shade tolerant conditions on the Lewis Terrace side. You can see the building grows out of the ground as you move down towards NEFCO. That dashed line at the very top of the elevations is actually what we permitted by our special use. It allows us to go up 36 feet. You can see what we're actually asking for is quite a bit less than that. So again, we're only going to 26 for the bulk of the building. You can see slightly grayed in the background is a tower, which is actually on the highway side of the building and not at all perceptible from Lewis Terrace and Newtonville Avenue. So again, we've kept all the height and the mass of the building towards the commercial side of the site and kept the small scale and well-planted areas adjacent to the streets facing the residences and the park. Again, all this is the top slide is the slide facing the highway, and the bottom slide is the one facing NEFCO, the commercial space. Again, you can see how well we conceal the mass of the building from the main two drives. All the mass is apparent only on the highway side and the NEFCO side. We're using split face block to create a nice solid base for the building. We're using traditional masonry for towers. We're allowing views through the glass into the tower to provide some visual interest to show what kind of facility we're actually providing here. The main body above the masonry base is a combination of very thermally efficient insulated metal panels. Again, the building is thoroughly landscaped on all sides, again, in concert with what the Conservation Commission asked for. And here's our landscaping plan. And I'll talk about a number of things. I'll try and keep it fairly brief. I know there's some interest talking about energy conservation. Naturally, these are very energy efficient buildings. They use particularly a third of the heating and cooling or HVAC capacity of normal office building. It's 1 ton per 1,500 square feet for these buildings, where an office building could be 3 to 500 square feet per ton. We know that because of the size of the building, we're under the Massachusetts Stretch Energy Code, which requires us to be 20% above ASHRAE 90.1 2007. We know it's a standard. These buildings are so efficient. Again, the cooling is not, we're cooling and heating only between 65 and 85 degrees. a large load of commercial buildings, of course, is lighting and HVAC. The lighting is all motion sensor. These buildings are normally unoccupied, so the building is dark, and when someone comes into the building, as they move from aisle to aisle, the lights light up and show them their way to their container, and when they leave, the lights go off. So we can be an additional 10% above what the minimum strict energy code would be. We were talking about providing a white roof, but to further reduce energy costs, but the neighborhood was very concerned about the brightness of that light, so we're proposing a tan roof. Again, it's very visible as you come down Newton Hill, down the hill. Again, we still can meet that 10% above, again, the very aggressive Massachusetts energy requirements, which are 20% above 90.1 2007. So we can go 10% above and still do a light roof and meet those requirements. The insulating panels on the outside of the building are very efficient. We'll have in excess of 20 R25 on the roof. Very efficient heating and cooling units on the roof. Again, we would, again, provide a third of what a typical building would provide. Probably three or four rooftop units. They'd be fully screened. Again, we prefer to screen at the units rather than bring our parapets up because, again, we're very concerned about keeping the mass of the building as low as possible. From a sound point of view, we keep them back towards the highway so we meet the sound requirements of not increasing decibel levels at our property lines. From a stormwater and drainage point of view, right now there's no stormwater treatment whatsoever. There's a number of an existing facility. It's a landscaping company. They've got tanks, containers of gasoline sitting outside and equipment, and all the stuff runs untreated directly into Laundry Brook. So we'll be providing water treatment, removing 80% of TSS as required. We'll be reducing peak flows off the site from the 2-year all up to 100-year storm. So we're actually dramatically improving the stormwater conditions on the site. We only had one question from engineering. There was a concern at the southwest corner of the site there was additional water flow off our property, and we've addressed that to his satisfaction by providing a yard drain at the southwest corner. Okay. Landscaping, again, we went to the Conservation Commission in great detail. We're providing mostly shrubs, all native adaptive. Again, where we're on the Lewis Terrace side, where we're saving large trees, we're using shade-tolerant species, they're all locally adaptive. Blueberry, we're using some viburnum, dogwoods. Again, right now, there's a very degraded understory with lots of invasive species. We're committing to removing those and keeping them out for 5 years. We're producing cover for wildlife, flowering nectary for bees. So we're dramatically, even though we're moving some trees, I think we're dramatically improving the wildlife and environmental capacity of the site. So I think I'm sort of out of time, so I'll turn it back over to Alan.
I love this thing. Councilor Blazer and I have agreed we're going to have our grandchildren come here and play on it. I just want to note that you can see in this plan that line there is the current sewer line. We have met with the Engineering and Utilities Division, and the sewer line that is shown here under the building, the way we were able to move a chunk of building from here over to here and get it back off Lewis Terrace was Utilities has agreed that we can relocate this sewer line over here. We will be filing a separate petition with public facilities, I guess, to relocate that sewer line. And they've asked us at the same time, this is like a wide connection that comes down from here, goes that way under the turnpike. They've asked us to replace the whole line down here. I also just want to note that in the course of conservation, plans were amended to take the snow dump from over here to over here, and the fix that Andy said about the drainage, catching that last piece of drainage. Lou McCurry is here to answer any questions if you have on the traffic. Basically, there are two things. First, the peak hour traffic in the busiest storage that we could find on Labor Day last year was 11 in the peak hour, which is what we are providing, and that should not be a problem. We're over industry standards, and the Second is that the generation of traffic from this is anticipated first to be about 10% of what an office building allowed as a right would be. And in fact, the generation projected from this is less than the traffic generation projected from the office buildings of the size which are currently there. Didn't count what's there, but so if that building currently were full, it would generate more peak hour traffic than the proposed facility. So we have a net decrease in projected traffic, which we don't usually see. The zoning table, you can see we are seeking the relief for FAR height and the parking waiver. All is allowed by special permit in the district. We have looked for, because of the driveway runs close to the NEFCO property, we need to ask for a waiver on the landscaping requirements on that side of the property, although we're actually landscaping on the other guy's property, and a waiver of the minimum lighting requirements so that we can have less public lighting than would be required, particularly around the other side of the building. I guess lighting requirements will only be in the parking area. And the waiver of the 36 spaces. So I think that completes our presentation, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to entertain any questions or comments.
Why don't we hear from the planning department first, and then I'm going to open up the public comment, and then I'm going to listen to my colleagues. Ms. Anant, do you want to provide us, if you want to provide a quicker overview now and then more in depth later, that's fine, whatever you prefer.
Sure, I'm happy to answer any questions after the presentation. Okay, so very quickly, this petition is seeking a special permit to allow for a greater than 20,000 square foot building, for a building with 3 stories and 36 feet and a FAR of 1.5. And they are also seeking waivers from the parking requirements for a waiver of up to 36 parking stalls for this use, to allow for parking in the side setback, for waivers to the Newton accessible requirements. However, they will be compliant with the state code, which is the governing code. A waiver for the interior landscape screening requirement for the parking facility and for the lighting requirement. The criteria that the council considers is whether the site is an appropriate location for a building of 3 stories, 36 feet in height, and with an FAR of 1.5. Whether the site is an appropriate location for a building of greater than 20,000 square feet. Whether access to the site over the streets is appropriate for the types and numbers of vehicles involved, and whether the site planning, building design, construction, and maintenance will contribute significantly to the efficient use and conservation of natural resources and energy. And finally, the parking requirement criteria is that the number of stalls and the requested waivers from landscaping and lighting are appropriate, because literal compliance is impracticable due to the location, size, width, depth, shape, or grade of the lot, or that those waivers are in the public interest. We have an aerial photo showing where the site is in relationship to Newtonville. It basically is in between the Harvard Street and the Lewis Terrace bridges on Newtonville Avenue across from the park. We have the site plan that the petitioner showed as well. Shows the setback from the street of about 18 feet, which is required for a building of this height. We have the landscape plan that was reviewed by the Conservation Commission and was approved by them as well. It includes some habitat restoration areas that would be planted with native plantings. And then finally, we have the elevations. So one thing that the planning department really didn't have too many concerns with were the requested waivers to the mass. The petitioners have done a pretty good job to design this structure so that from the street, from Newtonville Ave and Lewis Terrace, it really reads as a one and a half story building for the most part. because of the topography of the site, they're really able to hide the mass from the surrounding streets. We did some comparison shopping around with other cities and towns for their parking waivers and requirements for parking self-storage facilities, since we don't have that requirement in Newton. And typically, towns that have this requirement require about one stall for every 200 storage units. So the proposal for 11 stalls is in keeping with the number of units, and it's also in keeping with the two storage facilities that are existing in Newton. And that is it for our presentation, unless anyone has questions.
I'm sure we'll have questions in a minute. Why don't we open up to members of the public who wish to speak? So could I just show of hands for anyone who wishes to speak this evening? All right. Why don't we just, almost everybody on this side, and I think this gentleman here, why don't we start off front row to my far right, sir. Did you want to speak? Come on up. We'll proceed along that row. We'll move back, and we'll go in order to go all the way on that side, and then I'll start on this side. So again, name, address, and please keep your remarks to 3 minutes or less. Good evening, sir.
Thank you for hearing me, Councilman. My name is Jeffrey Kahn at 157 Newtonville Avenue, further up the street. The unique characteristics of this property is that it's a small industrial zone in what is, to say, predominantly a neighborhood of houses is an understatement. It is surrounded on the other side by a park, a dog park, tennis court, an elementary school, Louisville Terrace, and the surrounding structures. People are walking to the trains all the time. So when they say that there's a small increase in traffic, the kinds of traffic they're referring to are trucks coming at odd hours that are also driven many times by people who don't know how to drive trucks coming through the neighborhood. Again, people are walking at all sorts of hours, day and night from the trains coming back to their houses. The other consideration is that Newtonville Avenue really wasn't addressed on this. In that it's a very narrow street. It's two lanes at that point. Where there is a landscaping firm across the street from it, when they have large trucks parked there, the street at the light, in essence, becomes one lane with traffic turning from every direction. I think a formal traffic study needs to be done before they address whether or not it's appropriate to have these. The setbacks, I'll leave it to you to decide whether or not they're appropriate, again, for safety reasons and to get these trucks off the streets. But on all sides, I mean, directly across the street from Old Louisville Terrace, people walking across the bridges, this is all an extremely friendly neighborhood, with the only accessible sidewalk being on their side of the street for the most part until you get down there to the park. The current structures that are there have been there, I've been here for 10 plus years, and they have very low flow traffic patterns. We currently use the businesses that are there on the property for, their dog parks and things that run, again, very low volume use, and this will be a significant increase over what's currently going on there, including the destruction of course, the wooded and conservation areas that are there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Well, state my name is Bud Grantham. My real name is Richard Grantham at 46 Eastside Parkway, directly across the Newtonville Avenue from the facility. I'm a proponent of this facility. I think it's a step forward for us, and to get it done quickly would be in our best interest. It's a benign use of a valuable piece of manufacturing property that in my 40 years there has never generated a sufficient or a revenue stream consistent with its value. And I think this is going to get that done for the property owner. Traffic is a big issue that you'll hear. I have a little bit different perspective. We've tried with the appropriate authorities of the city to have traffic calming techniques used at the intersection. And the only thing that seems to work is to have parking along Newtonville Avenue. So I guess I would encourage you to require the operator to have somebody park on the street between the hours of 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. because that's the only thing that seems to slow the traffic down
on Newtonville Avenue. And I've lived there for 40 years. I'm retired now, and I've been for the last 8 years. I can tell you that the traffic at rush hour is significant. So slowing it down would be the best. I must disagree with you, sir. I think that the traffic projection for the facility is right by the architect, that it would be less than is currently the case. I've never seen a large a landscaping truck parked out in front of Norcross. They do go down the way to the back. So I'm a proponent. I'd say let's go forward.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bliss.
Good evening. My name is John Bliss. I live at 9 Lewis Street in Newton, one house south of Newtonville Avenue with direct views from the north side of our house of the Northwest property at 255-257 Newtonville Avenue. I'm speaking tonight for my wife and for myself and for my wife, Tamara Bliss, who is out of town. We support the concept of a special permit petition by Storage Development Partners, Northwest Trust, for the Northwest property. That includes an increase in the density allowed and the waiver of the minimum parking. We've lived in our current home for more than 48 years and have appreciated the relatively low intensity of use for a manufacturing zone of the Northwest property during that time. However, we also have also experienced the high traffic hazards presented by the intersection of Newtonville Ave with Lewis Terrace and Lewis Street. Pedestrians, including school children and road users, alike are endangered by excessive vehicle speeds and frequent occasions of lack of caution. Over the years, we've called the Newton police many times, and there have been quite spectacular crashes, cars ending up on the property on Lewis, the corner of Lewis Street and Newtonville Avenue across from the Northwest property. And therefore, the proposed use of the property for self-storage facilities appears less harmful to us than other uses that might attract significantly more traffic to this site than exists now. We have two principal concerns with the development. One is the long-term appearance of the storage facility to our neighbors and to us. And the second is the short-term impact of the construction process. The petitioners have so far responded positively to neighborhood concerns about long-term appearance, especially the preservation of many of the existing trees. We urge the committee to ensure that the Newtonville Avenue side of the facility, as well as the Lewis Terrace side, be heavily screened by plantings so as to minimize the sense of the mass of the building. We strongly recommend the use of as many evergreens as possible to provide year-round screening. We also understand that the petitions have offered a public benefit in the form of plantings in the city-owned triangular islands by Lewis Terrace and by Eastside Parkway. Personally, we favor bushes rather than trees in order to provide increased energy absorption in case of a vehicle going off the road. Regardless of which plantings are chosen, they should not impair any of the sight lines at either intersection, several of which are already deficient. Finally, we are worried that the short-term impact of construction, especially parking, could be very negative. Currently, because of the dog park, there are numerous cars parked on Eastside Parkway and Newtonville Avenue in the immediate vicinity of the Northwest property. We believe that the conditions of the special permit must require that all construction-related vehicles, whether personally or company-owned, should be parked either on-site or at a remote location such as the former Aquinas College. They should not be parked in neighborhood streets for longer than 15 minutes. These streets are too narrow to safely accommodate extensive all-day parking. We will of necessity see and hear the construction, but we should not have to have our lives seriously disrupted by it for many months. The existing trees shown in the final plan, of course, should be protected during construction. Thank you for your attention to our request.
Thank you, Mr. Glass. Next row, please. Anybody in the next row? One after that? Start off this side and come on up, please. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Laura Woodward. I live at 26 Lewis Terrace. I'm a direct abutter of this property. I don't necessarily have a problem with a self-storage facility. What I have is a problem of one this size. As you can see from Alan's pictures, the comparative properties he showed are in commercial neighborhoods with larger buildings which are more comparable to scale. I don't think that the zoning was established in order to put something this size in our neighborhood. It was supposed to preserve the character of our neighborhood, and I see no reason for a building of this size to defy the small houses that surround it. Also shown in Alan's pictures, there's going to be over 100 trees from one of my neighbor's towns taken down. Those trees shield the neighborhood from the pipes, the commercial buildings beyond it, and the commercial buildings on the other side of the pipe. The pictures look nice, but that's if you're lying on the ground in front of the building. It's a, this whole neighborhood's a hill. So my house directly across the street, there's not one view that's represented by that. We're up a story, so looking out the front door, I'm going to be looking on a huge, massive roof. There's been no negotiation on size. They're asking for the maximum size that would fit that property, and I see no reason for that. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please. Come on up. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Mary Heaney, and I live at 214 Bellevue Street.
How are you?
I don't want to repeat what Laura said, but my concern is about the trees and the loss of the trees, which is really significant. I've been to a lot of the meetings, and at the last meeting that I went to for the neighborhood in February, they went from talking about saving the four trees that are on Newtonville Ave in front of the North Class building. They were going to save those. And in February, we were told that they were going to actually save 15 of the larger trees running down Lewis Terrace towards Washington Street. But tonight I heard that now only 10 of those large trees are going to be saved. It's a significant impact in the neighborhood if you are cutting 100 trees down and leaving 15 or 10. And I think the rule in the city is if you take trees down, you have to replace them, but you don't have to replace them where they're taken from. So for us living in the neighborhood, walking around the neighborhood, you know, enjoying the neighborhood, to go from 100 trees to a huge concrete building is very detrimental. And the other thing is that my street is above the facility on my Bellevue. When I come down the street, anyone that lives above it, you're going to just see the roof. And, you know, they've gone from having a white roof to a tan roof. That doesn't blend into the terrain, to the environment at all. At one of the last meetings, someone raised the idea of a green roof, a planted roof. I would really like to talk more about that. I'm not opposed to having a storage facility. I agree with Laura. I don't think it has to be that big. And maybe if the size is reduced, more green space can be saved. Thank you.
Next, please. Come on up. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Cheryl Turner, and I live at 20 Harvard Street in Newtonville. Although our property does not directly abut it, I think the reality is that most people who would be using the storage facility will probably use either Newtonville or Harvard Street to access it, given the tough thing of coming from Washington Street up Lewis Terrace. I am in favor of this proposed facility. I've been impressed. I've attended all of the meetings that they've had with the community, and I've been impressed with the way the petitioners have been willing to save 10 additional trees than what the original was proposed, the way that they are seeking to create more of a green space, making arrangements with the, quite frankly, disgusting building to the left of it, heading towards Harvard Street, so that they can improve that area, improve wildlife. Storage facilities, the reality is probably there's a lot of the usage will be coming from the neighborhood and from the general community. And the reality is, I think, from what I understand, that there are people tend to bring their stuff, leave it there, and maybe they take it out or it sits there or they check on it occasionally. So to me, I'd much rather have something like a storage facility in the neighborhood than to have an office building with a lot of people coming in and out, or more apartments that would impact the local school that's already overcrowded. So I am definitely in support of this.
Thank you very much. Anyone on this side? Yes, sir. Come on up, please.
Good evening. Hi, my name is Bernie Hinterreger. I live in St. Louis Terrace. While I'm okay with developing it, I have problems. The main thing is it's just way too big, and I don't really quite understand why that needs to be exceeded. As it is, even making it smaller is going to have an impact. But you know, so they go from making 1.5 million to 2.5 million a year. I still think it's a viable thing for them. Secondly, everybody talks about one story. Well, it's 16 feet high. I live on Lewis Terrace. My ceilings are 8 feet high. So it's good stories. I mean, maybe there's stories by the way you talk about commercial buildings, but that's what I'm going to be looking at. 16 feet of building right across from you, where right now I have trees. The other thing is, please drive down Newtonville Ave. Just drive down Newtonville Ave. And as you're driving down, look at the way it looks right now with the trees, and then think about what it's going to look like. And you're going to just be staring down on a big flat roof, and it's going to make the, like, just like those commercial buildings that are in front of it, it's just going to make it look like that row just continues up. So it's too big. I'm all for the Norcrosses being able to sell this building, but it's too big. And the other thing is, it's a park, and there's going to be amateurs driving trucks. And I got a little bit of a problem with that. There's a little dog park right there. Most people don't even drive their SUVs properly, and we're going to be having trucks right next to the park with the amateurs driving them. And they talk about these 20-foot trucks, but my understanding is it's not just people are going to be storing things. There's commercial storage that's going to be taking place there as well. And I'll figure those aren't 20-foot trucks. And then if there's one truck in there with that small parking, where's the second truck that's waiting going to be? And there'll be times when there'll be two or three. They're going to park right on Newtonville Ave. And maybe it'll slow it down to make it safer. I don't think it's really going to, I mean, it's a narrow road. You're going to have a big truck there waiting for the other truck to get in. There's other things that have been said, and I got a long list, and I won't take up your time, but this thing needs more time and needs really to be thought about much more, because the impact is going to be huge, and it's especially going to impact, you know, everybody. Everybody who drives down Newtonville Ave, they don't even know what's coming. They need pictures of this stuff. I'd be glad to bring it to their houses to show them these pictures. We need to see some architectural renderings of what this is actually going to look like Laura said, not from when you're standing on the street, but from when you're sitting in your house or when you're driving down the street, what you're going to look like. And when you see those, you're going to say, this isn't going to look too good. And lastly, whatever the green roof proposal is, I think that's an excellent idea. And I'm sure that probably costs money, but if you could turn that roof green, make it a little smaller, then maybe we have something.
Thank you very much, sir. Next on this side, please. Anybody else? Show of hands. Anyone else? Come on up, John. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is John Cote. I live at 430 Winchester Street in Newton Highlands. And you will say that that is a long way from this property, and that is true. However, I live only half a mile from the EV storage facility on Christina Street. So I thought that by way of comparison, I might be able to offer a comment or two. One of the things that I was most concerned about when I read this proposal was the amount of lighting that I thought it would generate. Because if you've ever been near the one that's on Needham Street and Christina Street, if you approach that, let's say at midnight, I think the general impression is what you would have seen in the North Atlantic when the Titanic ran into the iceberg. All lights blazing, midnight, everything still going. So that was my concern. Now, what I heard tonight from Mr. Schlesinger and the other gentleman was that there was going to be no lighting on either Lewis Terrace or on Newtonville Avenue. Well, that's a very different problem, because now we're talking about this, whatever it is, 200-foot stretch of blank wall, which I think will be very appealing to our aspiring graffiti artists, who will then have the cover of darkness to do their work in. So I think that's something that has to be taken into account. I would worry a bit about security. It doesn't sound like there's going to be a lot of people on site, so that's something else. I, too, am concerned about the number of trees that are going to be lost, given what that neighborhood is like currently. That would be a very big change. And the other thing is, even though it is nice to see that the mass of the building has been diminished, the apparent mass has been diminished by the slope of the site, still the existing building is 13,000 square feet, and the building itself is like, you know, 40 by 50, something like that. This building is really, really big, and it covers a lot of space. So I think, again, it's going to change the way the neighborhood looks and feels, and various people who live there have already commented on that. So I agree that the traffic impact should be low based on what I've observed at Christina Street. People tend to check stuff in, and they often don't check it out. And if you look at the legal notices in the tab, you'll notice that they're auctioning off the contents of these things quite regularly. So traffic will probably be low. I think the truck traffic is an interesting thing with the inexperienced people driving their trucks. But the trees and the lighting, I think, are the issues that I see. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, come on up, please, now. Good evening.
Honorable Chair and Council, my name is Robin Lapidus. I live at 12 Princeton Street. I'm a mom. I take my kids to school every day. So I'm at this intersection of Newtonville Avenue and East-West Highway, and then on the other side, every morning, there is a white truck that double parks. There, I take a picture pretty much every day of the traffic configurations. I see people making U-turns. It's basically like a three-lane where the middle lane is used daily for buses, garbage trucks. There are cars that double park for the dog park. I have pictures. I'm happy to send them to you. It's really a traffic nexus. It's a vortex of traffic. It's also an area where senior citizens live. People bring, I think tonight I saw 25 dogs and, you know, 10 people. There's kids playing basketball. There's kids playing baseball. There's barely a sidewalk when it snows. And if you live in the neighborhood, you get used to losing your lights at least once during the summer when a car hits something that causes a problem with the transformers, and that's just the way it is. We all go out on Princeton Street, and everybody's like, it's the same thing. It's an accident down on Newtonville Avenue, and we don't have lights for a couple of hours. And I know that sounds fear-mongering, but I am really frightened about this project. I think that I would hardly feel comfortable telling a property owner what to do with their property, but I really have to urge the city to do the right thing and have some vision for this neighborhood. I mean, this is a wonderful neighborhood. We have seniors, we have basketball courts, we have baseball games all day and all night from the, you know, whenever the snow melts to when it's too cold to be outside. The thought of kids putting $19 down on a credit card to drive a truck up and down Newtonville Avenue is really scary to me. I think that it's a transient use. I would love to see the city give us a traffic study about what happens and who's going to use it. I don't know that we can actually predict who's going to put their stuff in storage, because this facility will have a giant sign on a really busy highway that says, come, this, but Newton is a really nice place to store your stuff. Get a truck for $19, get a storage unit for $80, but I don't know that these people are really going to care about my neighborhood and our kids, and it's already so congested. The thought of having not vested partners driving in and out, however often they do, is really makes me very uncomfortable. So I thank you for your time tonight, and I really hope you'll allow more neighborhood participation to see if this is what we really need on Newville Avenue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else on this side? Yes, come on up, please. Good evening.
My name is Heather Mara. I live at 217 Bellevue Street, on the corner of Newtonville and Bellevue. So I have the interesting vantage point of looking directly down onto what the proposed site is. And I'm here for a couple of reasons, a few. In theory, the storage facility is not a bad use for this property. I am concerned about the size of it and the traffic as well. Particularly for me, I've been walking the Cabot School for 10 years, and the city hasn't been able to remedy the traffic issues on Eatonville Avenue, and I've had small kids daily walking to this park and everything, and the sidewalks are questionable and whatnot. So it's just, I'm concerned about adding more issues to that area. For me personally, the size of the facility has me concerned because of the size of the actual footprint. It sounds like the selection was only to go out instead of up, and I don't know if that's because of the special permit instead of the zoning issue or what the choices were. To me, a taller facility that has a smaller footprint may have made less of an environmental issue on the trees. The trees that they're talking about taking down are as tall as is it in here. So imagine at least half of this room, it's actually the largest space of trees that will be taken down that size, and even in a replanting situation, you cannot replace those for years. These are old growth trees that have been around for a long time, so this room full of trees is now empty. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Anybody else on this side of the room? Okay, sir, did you want to speak? Come on up, please. And then is there anyone else on this side of the room who wishes to speak after that?
Okay. Good evening.
Good evening.
Al Scattini, 174 Newtonville Ave.
How are you, sir?
How are you, sir? I oppose this project. Newtonville Ave runs north, east and west from Newton, from Center Street east west to Walnut Street. It rises as a hill from Mount Auburn Street, from Mount Ida Street, up to the top of the hill, and up to Howard Street, and descends down into Lewis Terrace and Lewis Street, and into the project. Since 1930, my family has been associated with Newton. My father owned a business in Newton Corner. In 1949, my family purchased 175 Newtonville Ave, and since then, I've been living there, and subsequent thereto, I moved across the street to 174 and lived there with my daughter, and my two daughters, Andrea and Leah, live at 175. Andrea Cassini sent an email to either the building housing or the zoning or to the Board of Aldermen with respect to opposing this statement, this project also. I don't have a copy of it. The Board of Aldermen or the Planning Board should have a copy of it.
We'll make sure we get a copy.
I would appreciate that.
Of course. We'll get it circulated to all the members.
traffic is horrendous there. From the top of the hill, coming from the east to the west, from my driveway to your right is about 1,000 feet. To your left, to my left of my driveway is about 150-200 feet. If I had tried to cross that street without looking both ways, or even when I'm in the middle of that street, cars are apt to come around. They don't slow down. They simply go around you. And that's what's going to happen here. You're going to have an awful lot of traffic. people on Lewis Terrace or Lewis Street don't have this problem. They may go along with this project, but I disagree with it. I object to this project to be allowed. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to speak this evening? I see none. I'm going to leave the public hearing open, which means when we reconvene, as I said, on April 26th, there will be opportunity for anybody who wishes to speak again at that time. Obviously, if you're going to speak for a second time, I'd ask to try to say something new, but your comments will be more than welcome. So with that, I'd like to take some comment or questions from my colleagues. I noted Alderman Crosley, Councillor Crosley, Councillor Leary, Councillor Schwartz. So we'll proceed in that order. Just a point of information, I grew up around the corner, so I think on Bellevue Street, I know this site very well for what it's worth. So, Councillor Crosley.
Actually, I'll go after the Ward Alderman, if that's all right.
Quite all right. Councillor Leary. It's not technically your ward, but it is your ward.
All the abutters are Ward 1, as Alan found out to his grin. So I attended 2 out of the 3 community meetings, and I have to say I'm conflicted about this project. I actually think it's not a good place for a manufacturing zone to be, but that's neither here nor there. I agree with many of the concerns that have been raised by the public, and even when I was first elected, and I'm going into my second term, I've been contacted by at least 3 people who were very concerned about traffic, mostly speeding, people coming down the hill very fast, the difficult geometry of the intersections in that area, and I don't think the city has yet done a good job in handling that. Though I don't believe this project will generate significant traffic, I hadn't thought about the inexperienced truck drivers, so I'm not sure about that. I have a storage facility not too far from me on the other side of Chapel Street, which seems rather benign. I don't notice any increase in traffic there. But what bothers me the most about the project, and I do appreciate the efforts have been made to listen to the abutters and to the neighborhood, and they have made some changes. But when I see that they are going to remove more than 50 trees, that's very concerning to me. I do think it's too big. I understand the by-right options. I have some concerns about that as well that would generate a lot more traffic. But I don't understand why it has to be as large as it is. By-right is 20,000 square feet. This is almost 114,000 square feet. I think Heather's point about maybe it being a little taller and shortening it up might also be an option. When you're coming down Newtonville Avenue and many of the people that live higher up, they are just going to see a roof. And at one of the meetings, I did ask them about a green roof as well. And I know at least 2 people have also mentioned that. And I don't think they're meeting all their obligations in terms of ecological impacts. If they're going to leave the roof without either solar panels, or in this case, I think a green roof would be a better choice, because I think visually it would have less impact on people. So I just want to make sure those are all my main points. Yeah, so those are really the main things that I'm concerned about, and I'd be interested in hearing more from the neighbors maybe at the next meeting and getting some feedback from the builders about these thoughts. I do think there is room for improvement right now.
Thank you, Councillor Leary. Councillor Crosley, and I think if we keep our remarks, as Councillor Leary has been quite helpful in doing so, in suggestions and observations, that will give some food for thought to Attorney Schlesinger and his clients as they go back and rethink this project. Go ahead, Councillor Crosley.
Thank you. Well, I'm really glad to hear from Councillor Leary first. We've also all heard from President Lennon, and it was my understanding coming into this, and then I read all of these documents pretty carefully, that there had been a number of community meetings where there has been a back and forth, and there has been a shaping of the project, and in fact, a real push and pull
in moving the facility from one part of the site to the other in order to make the effort to save trees, which is also costing them, to my delight, replacing one of our old sewer mains in another location.
Sewer mains for you, overhead wiring for me, it's all the same.
You know, but in all seriousness, I see a lot of thoughtfulness in this project. It is a manufacturing zone, so I'm just taking that because that's what it is. That's what the city made it a very long time ago. And I just, for the record, want to clarify, because those of us who sit on this committee might have this drilled into us much more than other members of the council, and certainly the public, that it's simply a requirement that any building in any location across the city get a special permit that's over when it's over 20,000 square feet. It's different from stating a by right alternative in other senses. So, for example, you're allowed a floor area ratio of 1 on the site, and this is at 1.5, but 1 would be much higher than the 20,000 square foot rule. Okay, so just all buildings in the city of Newton, whether that's right or wrong or good or bad, have to come before this body if they're 20,000 square feet or more. And just for another clarification, the chair often does this, but I'm talking first, so I'm just going to do it.
You're usually better than I am, Councillor Clark, so go ahead.
There's a real difference between thinking of something that's allowed by right and what is a special permit. A special permit is something that's allowed by special permit. It's a different set of rules. It's very different from asking for a variance, which is like a special permission, which is not normally allowed or shown anywhere in our rules. So that's why we go to the criteria. And it's what I always try to and sometimes struggle to use to guide decisions. And the criteria, as has been gone through, is in some cases quite broad. I won't say vague, I'll say broad. I mean, there's room for interpretation. But the things I see that are thoughtful about the project is the way they use the topography, that it does preserve the existing trees at the perimeter of the site, which are providing screening for the neighborhood, which is, I think, you know, was a concession and a costly one, but a good and a thoughtful one. That there's a fair amount of landscaping, actually a great deal of landscaping proposed, which is also being conditioned by the Conservation Commission as I read it. And so the types of plantings are going to be, they're going to require native plantings. I actually have a question about why. I thought I heard someone say that you're going to get rid of invasive species and maintain that for 5 years.
I think it'd be very helpful if we all could just try to get some questions and thoughts of
what
you want.
So I have questions sort of built into this. So that's one side is how I think. But it's so that's one question is if we're only maintaining, we have to maintain landscaping throughout the life of the project, the condition will run with the deed. But if invasive species are being removed, why wouldn't we preserve that condition forever? We've had this conversation recently, beauties in the eye of the beholder. An advantage of the massing is that it buffers the neighborhood from the pike. So there's the trees, the building, and the pike. I just asked the question. I don't know what the downside would be to having a smaller footprint and a taller building. I think we probably have people on both sides of that one. Someone mentioned that. I was interested in the various approaches to the energy conserving or the conservation of energy and natural resources and what we call our fifth criterion and how that's being met. On the stormwater business, I'm glad to see you're putting in a robust system, but the question is that I'd love to be answered for next time. As our engineering department said that the soil, the glacial till, is not conducive to infiltration, and so, and you're very near a a protected waterway. I'm sure it's not in great condition today. So I have a question about how you're handling that or what that means in terms of your ability to successfully achieve the stormwater management. You're also right at the pike, so I imagine that culvert goes down and underneath the pike, and I'm just, and we have, I just wanted to say, a very robust stormwater plan that we're beginning to implement in the city. I'd love to find out if you're checking the condition of that culvert. I have some questions about the sewer main that's being moved. I just can't trace it on the documents. I see something there. It looks like it's going under the building. I'd like a little clarification on that. And I'd like a little clarification on the, there's a sewer pipe that you're talking about relining, a clay pipe. I'd just like some clarification on that. Why wouldn't you just replace it? And then on the roof, I had heard there had been a discussion about using the roof somehow. It's a very expansive roof, and I actually agree with the neighborhood that you don't want a white roof, which is more energy efficient, but it is also, it would create a lot of glare. There's lots of colors available. A green roof doesn't mean we put a green membrane on, although it could. I heard there was not an interest in solar panels by the neighborhood, which is, you know, struck my heart, and I think it's just such a perfect application for that, and those do not create glare. And I will say that I have a little bit of experience with green roofs, and there is a commitment you have to make to maintenance. They look like heck if you don't maintain them, even the ones that are the most. So I'd like to talk more about what the sustainability features of the building are and maybe balancing some of that with some of what the neighborhood wants. In terms of traffic calming and sidewalks and the whole, there's always folks come in here and have issues about traffic on the streets. Certainly the existing traffic problem is not being caused by this facility, and I agree that it's a low intensity use. I assume that the sidewalks around the property, if there are any, are being replaced. If there aren't any, could they be built? And I just don't know the answer to that. Haven't seen that in the documents. And in terms of, I guess I'm also curious about the piece of land that belongs to the city, which it was, as I think I heard it, used to close in Lewis Terrace, but will remain adjacent to the property, and how that's, is there anything planned for that piece of property? Does that make sense? Yeah, because it looks like it's a fairly barren, just piece of city property.
So the question is then for the petitioner is to understand, and maybe the planning department understand, what's that, the piece of property that's owned by the city, what's the plan for it?
How's that going to be integrated into the project?
I'm sure Ms. Anand next time can have an answer for
that. And that, in addition, I haven't heard anything come forward to the city about traffic calming measures in this particular area. I didn't know if there would be, and maybe this is for the planning department.
I think it's for the planning department. We should ask for that for next time.
Maybe there's something that could be done that could be integrated into this project that would help the speed of traffic on that street. Other than that, I'm just going to leave that alone at this point.
Thanks. Thank you. Others on the committee at this point, Councilor Schwartz.
Thank you, Chair. I want to echo the comments of Councilor Leary. When I first read this proposal, I have not been to neighborhood meetings, but what struck me as clearly of potential concern are the trees and the fact that, according to the memo, it's 50 or more trees that are going to be taken down. I know that one of the comments is over 100. I certainly know that we've been arguing a lot about a much smaller number of those trees at the library parking lot recently. So we do care about the trees. And I know the presenter said something about a conundrum to try to save as many trees as possible and where to move the building. But the comment that was made about the footprint had occurred to me as well that, the size, but B, if you need this size, why not try to make the footprint smaller, maybe make it a little taller by the pike so that you can save more trees? So that's a question that I certainly still have. I do take our responsibility seriously, and that is that we are being asked to give a special permit because of the FAR request. Certainly the access over the streets, that's another part of our authority here, and I understand that this is a less intensive use compared to some other types of office uses, but I do hear the concerns about trucks, and I think that we do need a little bit more information about other sites and how they manage the issues around delivery of materials and removal of materials. I know that people go to visit their materials and their belongings, but they obviously have to get there and they have to leave there somehow as well. And we're talking about 1,000 or more units of storage. So I'll be interested to hear more about that as well. And I think that's really it. I do think that Council Coffey's been terrific about trying to make sure the natural resources are improved, and the way that roof is addressed will be very important in this process as well, and I think that's also in our purview. So with that, I'll leave it to the rest of the committee.
Before I offer my comments, is there anyone else from the council committee that wants to speak? All right, so I have a number of comments. I really appreciate Councilor Leary, and especially Councilor Schwartz, and also Councilor Crosley, for raising concerns. I, too, share Councilor Leary's concerns. I'm of very mixed minds on this project. On one hand, I understand that it's a manufacturing zone. I think whether we think that's good or bad, that's the way it is. This has been a manufacturing area for a very long time. It is always, I think, critically important to look at what the by right alternative is, both in terms of what could be constructed. Even if you could construct with a special permit, as you need to, over 20,000 feet, you certainly could put a fairly sizable office building in here. Other uses that might have a more intense, perhaps far more intense, use of traffic. And I do appreciate and applaud Attorney Schlesinger and the petitioners for taking the time before they came to us to meet with the neighbors. So I happen to think that's a wonderful way to go. It makes for better projects. As I said earlier, I'm quite familiar with this site. I know it very well. And I share the concerns about the size of this project. This is going to be a big building, and while it is going to be 16 feet on one side, on the Lewis Terrace side, by the time you get down in Newtonville, it increases considerably more, and it increases even more at the back. And I'm concerned that the mass of this is quite significant and quite different than what we have there currently. And I wonder if there are opportunities to pull back from the street, reduce the massing on Newtonville Avenue, and Lewis Terrace, and take advantage of the topography. I think there'd be, frankly, far less objection if you built up even more near the turnpike. I don't think anybody cares about that, frankly, that much. I'd ask you to consider it. If it's not doable, I want to know why. Don't have to answer it now. Second, I do share the concerns about the roofing. I'd like to hear in much more detail why you have not included some kind of green or green-type roofing, something visually, because unlike a lot of other projects, the neighbors on Lewis Terrace and Newtonville Avenue and Bellevue Street are 100% right. Usually at a project, we look at it from street level or maybe from the window on a second-floor building. Here you're going to have a significant number of neighbors who are going to be looking down, and all they're going to see is the rooftop of a large building. So I think that's really something to consider. I am presuming that the culvert being open there is not something that could be changed. You could not enclose that. I'm assuming that's the case, but when you come up before us next time, Attorney Schlesinger, if you could just explain that to us and why that could not be enclosed, because obviously the
lack of closure of that culvert has affected a considerable amount of the decisions you've got to make here. And I do respect very much that you're trying to work with the Conservation Commission here. I, too, have some concerns about the traffic. It is true you're going to have fewer users. I think it's a fair statement that a not insignificant number of people who use a storage facility such as this one will be renting the proverbial U-Haul truck. I wonder if your parking spaces are big enough to accommodate more than one at a time. I think that's something you ought to consider. I'm not for increasing parking spaces unnecessarily, but I do not think it's a good idea if this is at all overloaded for there have to be parking on Newtonville Avenue. I understand the idea of parking in the street being a traffic calming measure, but I don't think that's a particularly good idea at this site. I wonder if there might be room for an additional space or two on the site. And I'm also curious as to how cars are going to turn on the site. So if you have a truck that pulls into the site, how is that truck then going to exit the site? Is there going to be room for that truck, the U-Haul truck in particular, to turn within the premises itself so it can enter Newtonville Avenue forward-facing rather than rear-facing? If it's rear-facing, I'd happen to think that'd be quite unsafe given all the activity there. And I think I want to make sure I cover everything else. Hours of operation, is this going to be a 24/7 facility? Is it going to be?
No.
Okay, what are the hours of operation that you're proposing? 6 a.m.?
The office is 9:30 to 6, and the access to the storage facilities is 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Right. I'd want to give some thought to that, and I'd welcome input from the neighbors as to whether those times pose any concern. I think it's reasonable, given your location in a residential neighborhood, to be particularly sensitive to concerns about vehicles beyond a mere car driving in and out of a facility. And I share the concerns that Councilor Leary and Schwartz and Crosley all raised about trees and the landscape planning. Maybe Councilor Crosley didn't raise them as much as the other two. But I want to look more closely, and I want to hear more from the planning department about your thoughts on the landscape plan and any possible improvements that we could have. So I'm sorry for being so lengthy. Any other thoughts or comments, Councilor Crosley?
Thank you. I'd just like to clarify a couple things.
Sure.
We may disagree on some things, but when I said I thought this project had a lot of thought in it and used the topography well, I want to be clearer than that. I think the massing is actually very thoughtful for the site. I think you're going to have problems with some folks if you start adding stories to the building and reducing the footprint. And my comments about trees were really complimentary in terms of their having taken great pains to move the building in order to preserve the perimeter trees, which are what the neighbors see. And we have a tree ordinance, and as far as when we're talking about private property and the trees on private property, to me, that's why we have the tree ordinance. And someone stated that, we don't have to put the trees back on this site, and in fact, you don't want to put too many trees on one site because they won't thrive. And there's a tremendous amount of additional planting that's being put here, which is great. What would happen is you landscape the site to the point where the planning department and we all agree it's a substantially landscaped and well-screened site, and then money goes into the tree fund, and that's why we have that. And I'm happy with that. So I know this is not a natural habitat the way it is. It's going to, whatever's left of it is going to be restored to natural habitat, and I think that's a positive. So I just wanted to clarify.
Right. Yes, Councilor Leary.
I appreciate all the thoughtful comments of
Councillor Crossley, and my concerns with the trees in our tree ordinance is, I understand the tree ordinance, I understand private property, but we really want to preserve the larger, taller, mature trees. And, you know, planting another tree off-site, it's just not the same. And that, you know, I've heard this over and over again by many residents about our canopy, our tree canopy. There's nothing like an 80 or 100-year-old white oak or chestnut. You just can't replace that. And that's the problem I have with our tree ordinance. I understand that they may be paying $100,000 or some such around that fund into the tree fund, but really I see that more as we need to really encourage and preserve the mature trees that we have when we can. I understand there are times when we can't always do that. So I just want to make that point. And I'm not sure if it has to be quite as big as it is. You know, almost 114,000 square feet. It's a big, big building in a residential area. So I think if there's room to talk about that, I would be open to that. And just my one other thought, the traffic island at Eastside Parkway, that used to have a very large tree lot that recently came down, and if we could also talk about, and it was mentioned by, I think, Mr. Bliss, about maybe putting some plantings there, and if that could be in the board order. I'd like to talk about that as well.
I'd like some input from the planning department about and the legal department how that might be phrased, Councillor Leary. That would be helpful. Councillor Lippa.
Okay, two things. I endorse everything you just said. When we talk about our trees, we talk about trees at the library parking lot, trees that the city can control. This is on a private property. They so choose to take down trees and pay a caliper inch, that's what they can do. I have no problem with the traffic that's going to occur from this building. It is going to be much less than the alternative. I'm happy that the neighborhood came out and we heard that one of their major concerns, whether this happens or not, is the traffic issue that they have on Newtonville. One of the things we did by creating a traffic council years ago was to free up the Public Safety and Transportation Committee to deal with bigger issues. And our meeting again is canceled tomorrow night because we're not doing just that. So I will docket an item to look at Newtonville Ave, look at this whole area, and give us something to do to make your neighborhood better.
Thank you, Councilor Ripoff. Anybody else? I just one other request for the petitioner. I think I heard at least one person talk about construction vehicles if this project is built and what that will look like. I don't think our board order really talks much about that. I think given the site and the fairly large nature of the construction, we ought to be quite clear about where construction vehicles are going to be. So if we could just make sure the board order, the draft that we have, addresses that, I'd appreciate it. And if it does already, forgive me for not focusing on it. Okay. Is there any other questions or comments? Attorney Schlesinger, is anyone who responded quickly at this juncture? And don't feel obligated to do so.
I just want to comment that the limit of the board's authority under the special permit is 36 feet and 3 stories. So that is a limiting factor. You require a variance to go above it.
No, we're not. I understand that. I thought I heard somebody say you were going to 38 feet. Did I mishear that at some point?
No, we are below 36.
Okay. But I would take it there's room for the 36 as you go further down, correct? And you just imagine the topography the whole way.
It's a single number that goes average grade plane, so this building counts as a 36-foot high building under the way you calculate it in the zoning ordinance. And it's 35 and change. So that's as high as you can go. You can't have a fourth story and you can't have it any higher.
So you're, just so we're clear, you're saying that you could not increase the height anywhere in this building from what you've drawn currently?
That's correct. That would change the height above the grade plane. It would make it go over 36 feet average.
All right. Okay. I appreciate that. I'd like just some confirmation. Doesn't have to be now from planning about that.
that's helpful, and it's important for us to know and the neighbors to know as we think through this project. Okay, Councilor Lipoff, do you want to answer me? Okay. All right, anything else? We are going to take it up on the 26th, which is a Tuesday night in April. Attorney Schlesinger, I think you have a fair amount of feedback from us so far. I encourage anybody who's interested to write to us. You're welcome to call us. You're welcome and encouraged to speak to the petitioner and his counsel. And you're welcome to come back on the 26th and present any additional opinions you have at that time. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you all very much. Good evening. Thank you.